Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
I tell you, Boniface is eager. He's very eager because he had a chat with Harun just before me. Yeah, and you know, you may be saying, hey, how come you know Harun so well? You're making Harun. I know him so well because virtually every day he's talking to me. He's WhatsApping, he's telling me about this program, listens to that. And, you know, he's someone that is that I've come to like. He's someone that keeps us up to speed of what's happening in London. The Queen went, and this went, and that's happening. There's King Charles. But Harun, alhamdulillah, he's tuned into his Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Harun from London, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful, yeah, it's a lovely Sunday morning, Harun?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Uncle Shafat. I am doing fine, alhamdulillah, and you?
I tell you, we are in all the top spirits here in Durban, you know, where the sun sets to. You know, all the billboards, it's all lies. It's where the sun never sets, then you're talking against a divine decree, but it's where the sun sets also, and many things happening. But everything that happens, Harun, happens through a divine decree and happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, looking at you, Harun, you know, you in that part of the world, the UK, and the world today has become a global village. But perhaps, you know, to start off with, when did the family, you know, decide to move to London? What were some of the reasons that you decided to go there? And talk to us about that, Harun.
Yeah, no, good spot. What it is, I actually, you know, left Durban back in 2005, and it was actually in March, to be quite precise. And at that time, you know, the UK government had the special agreement with the South African government where they were actually allowing, you know, South African citizens to come to the UK for 2 years. And that was to, you know, both for work and for travel without any, you know, working restrictions and stuff. So a lot of South Africans at the time had taken on the, opportunity to, you know, travel to the UK, you know, for that, 2 year period. And that's how, you know, I, initially, you know, came via that route to the UK, and you know, just fate had it that I then got married. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, the most important thing, half your iman was completed in London. Hey, you got married there. 2005, you left us, and there you were in London. And you know, adaptation. How is it? How easy was it for you to adapt to those conditions? You know what I'm meaning? The weather, and you left this part of the world, and hey, many of my friends that went there, they say, Chef, I can't take the weather here. I'm missing our weather. Yeah. How did you adapt, Harun?
Well, alhamdulillah, Uncle Shafat, you know, like a lot of your friends have told you, you know, we do experience, you know, quite severe winters, yeah. But having said that, you know, we are quite geared up to the, you know, cold weather and how, you know, best to deal with it. You know, we have, you know, central heating where we get, you know, gas plumbed directly into your property. So, you know, those heaters are fueled by those, gas heaters, you know, they fuel by gas. And, you know, alhamdulillah, it keeps us really warm. You know, once you're indoors, you know, you don't feel it at all.
Yeah, I tell you now. The important thing is, you know, when you grow up in South Africa or in Durban, the difference, the vibes is different, the cultural differences. What are some of the major differences? Because I know, I mean, London, that one Mr. Bean, the way he talks about his rogni naan and his chicken karai and his all those other things, it seems like, you know, London is also the capital cuisine for Pakistani dishes. But talk to us about the cultural differences there compared to maybe to Junubi Africa.
Yeah, well, good support. When it comes to cultural differences, you know, you see, London is a city. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it is the most, you know, multicultural city in the world, more than New York as well. Here you got well over 50 different nationalities, 50 to even up to 100 different nationalities, all living in a small city. But when it comes to the cultural differences, what I find is that one of the main cultural differences that we have compared to our other Muslim brothers and sisters are it's like the it's our cuisine. It's also the way that we dress. I've noticed that us Indian South Africans, we have a very specific and a fine palate when it comes to eating, and we want our dishes prepared in a certain way, whereas the Pakistanis and the Bangladeshis and the rest of the Muslims out in London, they tend to cook different to us. And even when it comes to our dressing, we South Africans like for example, when it comes to like even the wearing a kurta to our South Africans, we tend to gravitate more towards the Saudi style kurta, the more longer ones, where you'd find the Indian brothers and Pakistani brothers, who they mainly tend to go for the shorter ones. It's those differences and stuff that you tend to you see very early on when you come here.
Now, I like what Harun's telling me. He's tickling me, people. You know what, Harun? You talk about the cuisine and the South Africans. Like the other day, I was with Hafiz Ismail. I can't give you a surname, right? Rickin, chef, my family, hey, they can cook, man. They can cook, Friday and this and that. I said, so in other words, you're talking about your family's cooking is like a designer label for you. He got a shock. I said, maybe the Sutur Finni has to be made more with like this label and that label. That label means it's made by my family. And your palau will be different, or your yakni will be different, and your kalyo will be different, and your biryani. And he started laughing. You're like, hey, I never thought of it that way. Now you're talking about, gravitating towards more the style, Saudi style of, dressing. And the Pakistanis and the Bangladeshis too, they have the shorter kurtas, Harun, you're spot on. And then I spoke to an Indian alim, and he says, if I got that Saudi turban or the Saudi style dressing, I can't ride a horse. I can't go into a battlefield. But if you wear like my style of kurta, you can ride a horse and you can go on the battlefield with that. What a valid point that was, Harun. I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, no, definitely, Uncle Shafat. But then again, too, we are now living in a time zone where we're not going to be chances of taking a horse into a battlefield are very slim. but then having said that, I'm not too sure how far this is true, but I've actually heard that as time evolves. And as we are nearing closer towards Qiyama, we will be going back to those primitive modes of transport.
You see, Harun, you're a genius, because absolutely I read that too. We'll go back to the Stone Age. We'll have to go for firewood. As is a Putin, he's turning the taps off to Europe with the gas and all that. I believe in Germany, I don't know in your part of the world if they're looking for firewood already, to boil the water and to maybe roast the roast. But this is what's going to happen. Suddenly, everyone, there'll be energy taken away. Your technology will be taken away. And you'll go back to that where the playing fields will be leveled out, and true men will go into the battlefield. And the true men, like the Battle of Badr. Once there was a battle there in Badr. And who do you think won the fight? That was beautiful indeed. Well, Harun, you're flying. You're really resonating positively on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Over 2 million people listening to you. The whole world listening to you. How are you feeling, Harun?
Alhamdulillah, Uncle Shafat. I'm feeling good. It's always nice to tune into Markaz Sahaba. and you know keeping up to date with what's happening in South Africa and around the world.
Absolutely, and I know that you have a passion for Marcus Sahaba, and you know, tuning into this. And as you said, you like what's happening around. I mean, Mufti A.K. Hussain is absolutely brilliant with his world reports, with his tafsir. And if you look at your area, I know about Birmingham, Leicester, and all that. When we're talking about the Muslim populations, and I believe you have different counties. Which is the most populous Muslim county there in the UK, Harun?
Richard Pat, when it comes to the most popular Muslim county in the UK, and I wouldn't say there's any one particular one. But when it comes to Muslim populations in the UK, London you would find is the most cosmopolitan, where you got each little section of London, you'll have like a different nationality living there. So, in one section, you might have like all the Turkish and, all the Pakistanis and the Bangladeshis and the Indians and the Moroccans. But as you leave London and then as you, you travel, more towards the north of the UK, there you would find, larger pockets of Muslims dotted all over the north, so like for example like Leicester, I believe, even though I haven't been to Leicester, I believe it's got a more Southern African community living there. You got the Malawian, Zambian, some South Africans living there as well, I was told. But then where you then start going towards places like Birmingham, you got a, predominantly Pakistani, population living there, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, and Preston, you've got, mainly Indian, population living here. But also what is, another very interesting fact about the UK language of art is that the Muslims in the UK, they are fairly new here in the UK. You would only find one or two generations now that are actually born here. So it's very different to like South Africa, where our forefathers had left India like in the early 1800s, yeah, in the UK, you'd find a lot of the immigrants had only just recently arrived here, the Muslims from, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and it's only their kids now that are first-generation British-born, and now their grandkids are second-generation British-born. So, it's very interesting to know that when it comes to us South Africans, it's a fact that they won't actually recognize us as South Africans here in the UK. When it comes to the English, they just put us in this big umbrella, and as soon as they see a person of Asian descent, they will immediately, classify you as a Pakistani. And, us South Africans being so patriotic about, our country, South Africa, we actually take offense to that. And we are such, proud people of being, of being South African. I still have this up today, you people automatically just, that's fair as a Pakistani or Indian, and it actually it makes you think, what is wrong with this person? Why does you go to him like, but I'm from South Africa. So and the thing is, like, we don't even though we don't have any ill feelings or any grudges towards India or Pakistan, we don't want to associate ourselves that country, because we are like fourth generation or fifth generation South Africans, and you know, we are, you know, very proud about our country. And you know, it's just so sad that people don't actually recognize us here in the UK as South African, you know, Muslims or South African Indians.
Well, I get you. I know what you mean. You know, you don't want to say, hey, look there, look there. I'm talking like a Liverpoolian now. Hey, look there, look there. That's a pocky, man. Hey, I know some. Have you picked up any other dialects? And, you know, as you say, you're a South African. But I'm quite amazed, you know, when I traveled abroad and, you know, people listen to me, they say, no, you're a South African, isn't it? I said, how do you know? He says, you South Africans have a distinctive way of speaking the English. I mean, now you've got that Prince Charles accent already, Harun. So, you know, you are the real deal. But you know, I know what you mean. Even people say, oh, you're you this and you that. But don't you find different communities, you know, different communities of Muslims from different parts of the world, you know, for instance, Afghanis and the Bangladeshis and the Pakistanis and all, as you spoke about, the Turks and the Egyptians and all that. They're very insular. They will not integrate with other Muslims because culturally they have that cultural Islamic bond or Muslim bond, I should say. Your thoughts?
Yes, Uncle Shabbat, you know, 100% right. You know, you tend to find that. And but also, you know, I think it's more of a... you know, it's more of human nature. You know, people, you know, tend to, you know, gravitate towards their own kind. But you know, it is what it is, and you know, I don't think you know, that's going to change anytime soon. You know, the main you know, problem occurs you know, during the time of Eid. You know, be it Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, where we got you know, the statue of the moon issue, and you know, and the UK, you know, because of its geographical location, it's you know, almost impossible and very difficult to you know, sight the moon. Yeah, you know, and having said that, you know, it's our own you know, Sheikh Suleiman Ghani, you know, who is a South African alim, you know, who's also living here in the UK now for you know, over 20 years. You know, he's now taken the initiative to take it a step further, and he's trying to break this, you know, this bad culture of, you know, having to celebrate two Eids, and you know, more especially, you know, people not bothering about sighting the moon and just either following their country or mainly following Saudi when it comes to, you know, celebrating, you know, Eid. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, we can only, you know, pray and hope, you know, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just hope that, you know, as time goes by, you know, things will get better and change. But, you know, for now, I mean, you know, what I have found is that, having lived here for almost 18 years now, that, you know, every single year, you know, there will be this, you know, division. You know, amongst our Muslim communities, especially when it comes to, you know, celebrating Eid, you know, on different days. And, you know, one thing, you know, I do really miss, you know, about South Africa is, you know, the unity that, you know, us, you know, South African Muslims have, and especially when it comes to, you know, celebrating the auspicious occasions of Eid, where we will never ever, you know, have this, you know, conflict. You know, and also, you know, have it where Eid is being celebrated on two different days.
Harun, you know, you make me think also, and then you're talking about your masjid and the locality. Talk to us about, you know, Salah, you know, Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, and talk about the Jummah, the ambience, the atmosphere, the amount of congregants that's coming for the different Salah and so forth, Harun.
Well, Uncle Shabbat, what it is at the moment, I've actually left London. So, you know, after having living in London for 17 years, you know, my wife and I decided that, you know, it's you know, probably time to leave London. And we are now living in, you know, Preston, which is actually the north of England. So we actually moved here, in January of last year. So in fact, you know, in a couple of weeks time will be exactly 1 year that we're now living here in Preston. And, you know, the reason why we chose to move here is that it's you know, compared to London, Preston is a lot, you know, it's a lot more quieter. It's a bit more rural. So you've got that, you know, you've got, you know, the luxury of, you know, living in larger open areas, you know, greener spaces. And, you know, one thing I found about Preston is that the Muslim community is a lot more, you know, stronger. It's because it's being a much smaller city, a small town. There's a huge amount of masjids, you know, salah, you know, when it comes to salah, you know, the masjids are always full compared to, you know, your London masjids. You know, I think Dean is also one of the reasons that we actually chose to move here to Preston. You know, Dean is a lot more stronger when it comes to, you know, having programs in the masjids. And, yeah, in Preston, we just actually opened up our brand new masjid, you know, in March of last year, where we had, you know, Mufti Meng Chu, who actually came and, you know, he led us, you know, for our first Juma Salah. So, you know, at the moment, our Fajr is at 7:15 in the masjid. That's the Fajr Jamaat. Sunrise at the moment is at about 8:30. So, you know, the days are very short here at the moment. And then we got Maghrib, which is at 4 o'clock. So it's actually the perfect time to, like, you know, try and... you know, keep, you know, sunnah fast and nafil fast and everything.
That's absolutely brilliant. You know, you, as you said, moving away, and you said as you, maybe you far from the maddening crowd then, if you say, you know, you decided to move to Preston and it's more greener in that way, you know, in street, instead of being in a concrete jungle. Do you find that... disparity, you know, like London is more like concrete jungle and huge buildings, and you know, you've just been living in frozen blocks.
Most definitely, Uncle Shafat. What it is, at the moment, you know, London, the way things are going is that it's you know, becoming also, you know, increasingly more and more expensive to live in London nowadays. You know, just to, you know, give you a small little, you know, background, you know, of also, you know, why we decided to move to Preston is that I'm actually looking to, you know, one of my, you know, ambitions of, you know, 2023 is to, you know, to try and make the wife happy now and, you know, buy, but we need to try and buy our own property here in the UK. So, you know, me, you know, having such a, you know, fondness of South Africa, I actually decided to buy my first property in South Africa, even though I'm living here. And now, which is one of the reasons why we then decided, you know what, it might be best to, you know, move to Preston. Because in Preston, you know, my dad's got, you know, family. He's got, you know, six cousins here in Preston. Like in London, for example, I'm just finding, you know, my rent for a little two-bedroom place was, you know, £1,300. And that was just the rent, excluding any other bills on top of that. And, you know, alhamdulillah, even though I was able to, you know, meet the rents and pay the rents and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, I told my wife that it's you know, it doesn't really make, you know, any sense, you know, paying such exorbitant amounts of money in rent. And at the end of it all, you're not going to actually own any of it. And it's, you know, to me, it was just looking like, it was like, well, dead money. So, you know, that is why we actually decided, okay, you know, it might be better if we, you know, move to Preston, where property prices are, like, you know, up to a third or even two-thirds cheaper, you know, compared to London. And, you know, Uncle Chapad, you know, even though South Africa, South Africa, you know, with all its problems that it has and everything. But, you know, I got no regret, you know, in buying property there. And, you know, South Africa will always be my first love.
You can say it again. You use the right term. Hey, deal, South Africa. So anyone come and tell you, hey, Harun, are you from Pakistan? Or say, no, deal, South Africa. I'm saying it with you, Harun, because I know I feel exactly like you wherever I go. It has to be come back home. Home is South Africa. And moving on, Harun, and Jazakallah Khair for sharing all those insights with us. And I can tell you, there's one anecdote that came to me. It said, a fool and his money are soon parted. But in your case, Harun, hey, you're not a fool, my man. You, as a young man, you're making all the right decisions, and Allah protect you. Allah give you the barakah. Oh, and you just stay, you know, on the straight and narrow. You'll be a winner both in the dunya and also in the akhirah. And if your wife is listening, hey, can I tell her this on your behalf? Can I tell her this, Harun? Are you giving me permission? All right, I'll tell her. Congratulations for choosing Harun as a husband. How's that, Harun?
It's a good one, Shafat.
Okay, now let's move on and we'll look at the highlights and lowlights of 2022, Harun. I know you listen to my political show, you listen to the Mufti show. You know, you are well-rounded. You are a guy that makes a lot of informed decisions. So tell me, what was the highlights and lowlights of 2022, Harun?
I mean, Shafat, the highlights of 2022, you know, I think one of the highlights would definitely be, you know, coming to South Africa. You know, because what it is, Shafat, you know, I actually come to South Africa. I've been coming to South Africa at least once a year, if not twice a year, you know, for the past 17 years. And, you know, due to COVID that, you know, hit us, I was unable to come to South Africa for a good two to three years. So, you know, just having returned from South Africa now, you know, that was definitely one of the highlights, you know, visiting South Africa after so long. Then the other highlight was, you know, moving to Preston. You know, it was a big, you know, adjustment and move for us. But, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, it worked out well. Yes, I think those definitely, you know, were the two big highlights.
Well, I'm looking some of the questions. Are you tickling the minds of the listeners here? Brother Shafaz, please ask Harun how many children and what's his surname? Hey, you scared the Kate here. Prati Afrikaans, Harun?
No, Uncle Shafaz, you know, my wife, she's a lot, you know, better, you know, spoken in Afrikaans. But, you know, I've got a daughter, Uncle Shafaz. You know, she's going to be turning 14. You know, in a couple of months' time. I am a Kaji, Uncle Shafat. You probably know loads of my, you know, family from Bingo Beach, you being from there. I've got all of my family, you know, from both from my mom's side and my dad's side, all in Bingo Beach, in the Kajis and the Salajis. So, you know, I'm sure you probably know a lot of them there.
I'm a Gharka Murgi in Spinger Beach. You know that. I mean, these guys are like the Salajis. I mean, the late Mehmood Salaji, you know, the Mufti Ibrahim Salaji's father, used to call me the son of the family. And, you know,
he was actually my late Nana's brother. So, you know.
Wow, it's a small world.
Mehmood Salaji.
Can you believe it? So, you know, Talim, you know, Ismail Hafiz, Ismail Salaji, and Pal passed away recently. And, you know, there's a history. And you, that's why, I mean, that's why you, we have this love for each other. We have a very common denominator, Harun, a very common denominator indeed. And you're part of the family. And as you bring it alive this morning, and I'm definitely going to send your podcast to, Talim. Talim's going to get it. And I tell him, please give it to all the Kajis here in Isipingo Beach. Yeah, they're going to do that on your behalf. So, you know, we spoke about many things that happened. And, you know, the joys of having perhaps an Islamic radio station. You know, tell me, talk to me about it. You know, what joy you get when you listen to perhaps a radio station broadcasting from South Africa, Harun?
Imran Gujarat, I think as South Africans, we don't know, how blessed we are. And we only tend to, realize that is, once you move out of the country or once you, visit other countries, and alhamdulillah, I'm well traveled. And it's only when you go out of South Africa, you then tend to, appreciate so much that South Africa, has to offer you. Especially like when it comes to our deen, even though we might not be part of a Muslim country, I've been to so many Muslim countries, especially in North Africa and stuff. But what we have in South Africa, is something so special, and it's something that we really need to be grateful for. It's a simple thing like a radio station, in South Africa, our Mufti AKA said, he was sending us, gifts on WhatsApp, and, Mufti AKA saying, being the jovial person he is, and he goes to me, I'm gifting you a radio. And, that's what he literally did, over WhatsApp. He was gifting, people all over the world radios, and, he gifted us this app. And, on that app, I then, managed to, tune in to, Markaz Sahaba, Radio Al-Ansar, CII, and I've got all these, radio stations out on my app. But, those are just a few names, Radio Islam is another one, in South Africa. So, in South Africa, we are, spoiled for choice when it comes to, listening to an Islamic radio station. But, for example, here in the UK, we don't even have one Islamic radio station. And, going to, a lot of the Muslim countries that I visited in North Africa, be it Morocco, Egypt, or Tunisia, I'm sure they've got, radio, Islamic radio stations there, but, it's nothing compared to what we have in South Africa. It's really, makes you think that, we are so grateful, for having all of these, luxuries, I would call it, in South Africa.
Harun, you make a very valid point indeed. And, the first global Islamic broadcaster, that was CII Radio. But who was the captain? Who was the resident mufti of that radio station? Take a guess, Harun.
If I'm not mistaken, it was our very own mufti, A.K.A. Hussein.
Hey, come here. There's a gold. Yeah, Kruger ran for you. Pure gold. Keep this, Harun. Absolutely, Mufti A.K. Hussein Damat Barakatum, the first Islamic global broadcaster. And who was the resident Mufti of the station was Mufti A.K. Hussein. And they must have been about 6 or 7 months old. And it was Mufti A.K. Hussein told Ibrahim Gengat, phone Shafat Ahmad Khan and ask him to do this program called Comparative Religion. You know what, Harun? Allahu Akbar. I never looked back after that. It was Mufti A.K. Hussein that backed me. And through the barakah of this great alim, today I'm on four different platforms, but I'm very humbled about it. But Mufti A.K. Hussein was like a guardian angel for me. He protected me because many, when you're in the public eye, Harun, I tell you, it's not easy. So many will come for you and this and that. But they was my protecting guardian angel, and that was Mufti A.K. Hussein. And that's why, whenever he tells me, hey, Shafat, I want this, I'll do it with him without a blink of an eye. Because he was there that, added to the barakah of the broadcasting. And, Harun, as we move on, really enjoying the chat with you. And perhaps when we talk about, you talk so passionately about South Africa, with the political conditions that we are going through. We had, load shedding, 200 hours of load shedding, so much of our load shedding. We want to know from you, Harun, if you had to choose a leader for South Africa, who would you choose?
Well, Uncle Chapat, at the moment, political situation, it is what it is. And, I would say, our very own, Councillor Ahmed Parak, he's my number one candidate for being the president of the country. you know, at the moment, you know, it's just so sad to see that, you know, that the high level of corruption that we are facing in South Africa, and all we need is somebody who not only is competent to do the job, but you know, somebody who is just you know, honest and will be able to you know, guide the ship and steer the ship in the right way.
Now, Harun, I know when we do straight talk with Ahmed Bharat, you are contributing every week. You say, hey, and I send it to him. I send him all your messages, and he gets very happy indeed. Now, but what's wrong with Ahmed Bharat? He's out of sight, out of mind. I believe he's in your part of the world. Has he contacted you?
Well, Uncle Chapat, yes, he did, you know, make mention that he was going to be coming, you know, to this side of the world when he did speak to me last. But, you know, it might just be a case where, you know, we're going to miss each other, because I'm actually thinking of coming to South Africa, you know, in the next couple of weeks' time. So, you know, it'll be nice to, you know, meet him. If not, we'll just have to try and, you know, meet him when we're there. And, you know, hopefully, you know, both me, you and him, we can all go down and, you know, have that, you know, that bunny chow that we are talking about in Oriental.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is our, you know, they talk about bunny chows and say, the mother of all bunnies. What's your favorite one? Was it is it the chicken bunny or the mutton bunny or that, you know, the kebab there or the mince bunny? Tell me, what's your favorite bunny or the vegetable one? You know, they talk about the beans bunny and the broad beans bunny or the mixed veg bunny with some cabbage and all in that with a lovely lime pickle, mango pickle or carrot achar. What's your favorite there, Haru?
I mean, Chapat, I actually got, you know, two favorites when it comes to the bunny. You know, the one is definitely going to be the, you know, the lamb, the mutton bunny. And the other will be the, you know, the vegetarian from Patel's in town.
but,
you know, they just, you know, they really do a good, you know, a vegetable bunny there, but I think the trick when you go into Patel's is that you have to tell them to you know, give you a mix. So they will take three different types of curries and mix it all and put it into one you know, in a wonderful you know, chunk of bread.
Now I don't know why you're tickling me again. You know, when your light is right, if you're bunk school, you know, bunking. I don't know if you did bunking. If you bunk school,
yeah, we used to do that, Uncle Chapat.
Yeah, once you bunked, your breakfast had to be at Patel's. With the green chilies and the lovely chai. And, you know, Harun, I mean, you hardly paid anything for it, but you were filled for the rest of the day, Harun.
Yes, definitely, Uncle Shabbat. And also, you know, the good thing about Patel's is, you know, it's the taste and everything, you know, you just can't beat it.
Yeah. I wonder if they're still around. You know, I've been long since I walked the streets of Durban. Grey Street has been changed to Yusuf Dadu Street and Inkoguzi. I don't know, all the other names, you know, Dennis Hurley Street for Queen Street and all this. Are you aware of the different name changes of Durban and surrounding areas, Harun?
Yes, Anga Japat, you know, I am fully aware of it, but, you know, worrying is the fact that, you know, the CBD, you know, it's not so what it was, you know, 20 and 30 years ago. You know, I remember us as lighties, you know, we used to, you know, walk up and down, you know, town, and, you know, it's just so sad to see that, you know, as the decades have gone by, there's such a, you know, drastic change where it's you can't even, like, you know, walk, you know, the streets of town anymore. But, you know, but having said that, you know, my friend, a very, you know, old high school friend of mine, you know, he's got his business in the CBD. So, you know, whenever I'm in South Africa, you know, I have to, you know, make it a point to, you know, go and visit him and spend some time with him. And, you know, Patel's is just not too far from him. So we still go and, you know, get a bunny chow from there and, you know, bring it back to your shop and have it on the spot. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, walking the streets of town now, you know, unfortunately, it's not something that you can do anymore. And, and sadly, generations to come, they're definitely not going to experience or have the same experience as what we did, growing up as kids, walking into town and stuff and stuff up.
I tell you now, when there's a special term when you're having a bunny. I don't know if you still remember it. When you all get together as friends to eat a bunny, what do you do then, Harun? You tell us, tell the world, what do you do? You do something with the bunny. It starts with a C.
Well, you crack it, Uncle Shabbat.
Hey, come here. There's another Kruger and yeah, that gold one. There's a second. Hey, you. Me. No, we got plenty here. Don't worry. The baraka is flowing. Harun, that is absolutely brilliant. Crush a bunny with your friends. Those were, I don't know if we can get those days back again. I know we used to play our soccer on the streets. We used to play our cricket under floodlights. That was long before they played it, professionally. We likeies used to play under the street lights and street poles and enjoy all that. I don't know if you had that experience, Harun.
Yes, most definitely, Uncle Shafat. I remember, we lived in town for, a good, 20 years of my life. So I was actually born in town of Shabbat, and I remember, especially when it comes to, the occasions of, like Ramadan, living directly across the, Gray Street Masjid, we would have all the, floodlights come on, just before, Isha, and, myself and my friends, we used to play, soccer, under those floodlights, and those memories and everything are lasting memories. But unfortunately, it won't come back now. For the new generation.
Well, I'll tell you, Harun. I was privileged that I gave a Jumma Bayan at the Grey Street Masjid. I do talk to the trustee, A.B. Muhammad, quite often on another platform. And I used to be Sheikh Ahmed Deez as editor, at the IPCI. That was in the late 1890s. And there was, fond memories of that area that you talk about. Harun, absolutely brilliant conversation with you this morning. Perhaps your parting words before we let you go?
It's about, what I would like to say is that, we just need to try and, be safe in South Africa. It's getting, very dangerous out there, and just trying to, be on the lookout, be vigilant, and, always, read your du'as and your ayatul kursis and everything before you leave home. And, also maybe just, just give out daily sadqa, because we are living in some very worrying times in South Africa, and, inshallah, as we, progress into the new year, things will get better for us in South Africa.
Harun Kaji, not from London, but from Preston. Jazakallah khair for being with us this morning. Really, brilliant talking to you. We'll talk soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.